In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello and welcome to another edition of A Palm in the Desert. In our previous programs, we talked about Imam Ali's life and his thoughts. What we want to talk about tonight is taking Imam Ali as a role model in thought and action. Stay with us, we'll be back with the discussion after a short break. Welcome back. Our respectable guest tonight on A Palm in the Desert is Dr. Imam Ali, Doctor of Philosophy of Education from Imam Khomeini Institute of Education and Research. Welcome to A Palm in the Desert, Dr. Imam Ali.
Thank you
for coming. As I said before the break, we want to talk about taking Imam Ali as the role model in thought and action for all Muslims. And in order to start this, we are actually going to talk about groups of Muslims. Mm-hmm. And focusing our discussion on that Shiism. To start with that, can you please give us a short description of the concept of Shiism?
Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi tayyibin at-tahirin. In a very beautiful way, you put a good question. Normally, when we finish the discussion about Imam Ali as the masterpiece of the universe, educated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, then normally it would be better to talk about those who believe that Imam Ali is the role model for them. As you may know, in Islam, Muslims are divided into two major and main groups, the Sunni Muslims and the Shi'i Muslims. Before I come to definition and description of these two terms, I would like to tell you something about conceptualization of the term Shi'a. What does Shi'a mean? Shi'a, in the Arabic term, comes from Shaya. Shaya means follow. So Shia is the follower. When you talk about Shia, you are talking about the follower. Follower of whom? First and before everything, Shia are the followers of Ali, of Imam Ali. So the very definition of Shia is, according to Shahid Sani, in one of his volumes with regard to fiqh, to Shi'i fiqh. In some cases, he tries to provide a short definition about Shia. He says, do you know who is Shia? Ash-Shi'atu man shaya'a Aliyan. Shia is the one who follows Imam Ali in what? In thought and action. So Shias are the followers of Imam Ali in terms of thoughts and in terms of actions. Of course, as in any other classifications and divisions, you have different groups which could be called as Shia. In this program, when we talk about Shia, I mean the 12ers. Sometimes they say Shia 12ers, and sometimes they say Shia Imamis.
Imamis are the Shias who believe in the 12
Imams. So when we talk about Shia, we talk about the Imamis or Shia 12ers, those who believe in 12 infallible Imams. So Ali ibn Abi Talib is the very role model for us. In our two previous sessions, we talked about the uniqueness and the very characteristics of Imam Ali. So again, as a link, we talk about the followers who are taking Ali as the role model in thought and action.
One of the accusations that they give for these 12 Muslims, as we said, Shias, is that they pay more attention, they spend more value on the Ahlul Bayt than the Prophet Muhammad himself. How's that?
As you mentioned, this is a kind of accusation, or it's a claim. Why? Because Shia, as I said, are the followers of Ali. Why do we follow Ali? Because of the advice of Prophet. It is famous. It is evident for both Shia and Sunni.
Again, referring back to the hadith of Saqalain.
That Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gifted us by one of his last saying. And that last saying is what? Inni tarikun fikum al-thaqalain, kitab Allah wa itrati. Okay? So Islam in itself, in its nature, is due to the continuation of the holy book, Quran, and Ahlul Bayt. And Ahlul Bayt indeed are the supporters and protectors of the holy book. So when we say Shia, it means that first we believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as the founder of Islam, as the last prophet. And then taking his very advice, his very important advice, we are following Ahlul Bayt as supporters and protectors of the Holy Quran and of Islam.
Thank you. Needs and requirements of being a true follower of the Ahlul Bayt is next. I'll discuss with my guest tonight after a short break. We'll be back. Okay, we are back. Taking Imam Ali as the role model in action and in thought. Is it just a claim? How can this be put into experience and in real action? What are the needs and requirements of being a true follower of the Ahlul Bayt?
Yes, as you said, we could claim, as the claims that we have in our daily lives.
What is the proof for the claim?
And sometimes we try to put the claim into practice, into reality. Who are the true followers of Ali? Who are the true Shia? Who are the true Twelvers? This claim, in order to be a reality, in order to be a fact, is in need of effort. As in any other case, when you want to prove your claim, what do you do? You do your best. You need investment. If you want to put your claim into fact, into reality, you need investment. What could be our investment to prove that we are the true Shia? Let me provide you a good statement from Ali himself. While he was providing his sermons in the Mosque of Kufa, he was advising his followers to try to be his like. He said, "You are not my Shia except when you try to be like me." And again he added, "Innakum la taqdiruna ala dhalik." Even if you try, you are not able to be Ali. Ali is Ali. Even the other imams, the other infallible imams, the children of Ali and Fatima, repeatedly they said, "We are not able to be like Ali." Ali is Ali.
Unique.
Even Imam Sajjad, the fourth imam, is famous for his worship, Zainul Abidin, the ornament for the worshipper. Okay? The model, the role model for the worshipper, Zainul Abidin, Sayyidul Sajidin. Imam Baqir says, "Once I was with my father, and my father asked me to bring the book of Ali, Mushafa Amal Ali. My father, Zainul Abidin, asked me to bring him what? The book of Ali's action and practices. When I brought to him Mushafa Amal Ali, the book of Ali's actions and practices, he looked for some pages and afterward he put it down and said, 'Who is able to be like this man? Impossible. 1,000 rak'ah each and every day, each and every 24 hours, 1,000 recommended praying, despite having those types of responsibility,
socio-political responsibility,
socio-political, you know, positions. 1,000 rak'ah each 24 days. A'badun nas.
How was it possible? It was actually impossible. No one.
Really, sometimes it's not imaginable. This is uniqueness. So Ali is Ali. In Nahjul Balagha, he said, "Innakum la taqdirun ala dhalik." You're not able
to be like that.
To be both in terms of thoughts, ideology, faith, and action. You're not able to be like me. Walakin a'inuni. But try to help me. Look at the word, look at the term that Imam uses. He does not say, "Try to be like me." He says, "Walakin a'inuni." But try to help me. Why? Because when you claim that you are the follower of Ali, you need to be his similar in terms of thought, faith, and action. Help him in... Through which way? Help Ali through which way? Again, he says, "A'inuni bivara'in wajtahad wa'iffatin wasidad." We need four requirements. To be close to Ali, not to be like Ali. Those who want to be close to Ali, they need to have four important characteristics.
And that's what he said himself in his words.
In his word. A'inuni bivara'in wajtahad wa'iffatin wasadad. You are not able to be like me, but help me with purity and hard effort. A'inuni bivara'in wajtahad. Vara means it's something more than and more qualified than piety. Wara means purity. Ijtihad means hard effort. And iffatin wa sidad. Iffa means modesty, cleanness. And soundness. A follower of Ali must try not to be modest, hard worker, and pure, but also must try to be sound, well established in terms of faith and in terms of action. Aren't these words simple? Easy?
Sure not.
Could we easily claim that we are the follower of Ali? The minimum requirements to be the true follower of Ali is for purity, hard effort, modesty, soundness, and being well established, both in terms of faith and action.
Each one of them needs a very rich background.
Otherwise, it's a simple claim.
Where does the difference between Shia and Sunni came at the beginning? I mean, where is the root?
It's a hot discussion to my understanding, because some of the scholars believe that the story of Shia and Sunni started in Islam centuries later.
Later, you mean later after?
Later after of the demise of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But no, it's not the case. Shiism and Sunnism started from the very early years of Islam. And indeed,
during the era when Prophet Muhammad was alive?
Even during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because sometimes Prophet himself said, Shi'atu Aliyyin. The term Shia was used by Prophet himself for those who followed his practices, his style, his personality, and his way. So this term was used by Prophet himself. But particularly in the history of Islam, these two terms, Sunni and Shia, was famous after the demise of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Dr. Shamili, we'll continue our discussion on that after a short break. A short playback, and then we'll be back. Doctor, back to you. You said the root goes back to the very early days of Islam.
Shiism and Sunnism.
Right.
Exactly. To my understanding, these two terms are the terms of early Islam, both with Prophet and after Prophet, particularly after Prophet. The matter of successorship, the matter of continuation of Islam. Is Islam finished with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam,
sure,
and after that? No, of course not. Because this is the seal of religion. It's going to be the last and the continuing faith up until the day of resurrection. So, one reason that the Muslims as a whole divided into two main groups is that in terms of successorship after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, Shi'i Muslims believe that the matter of successorship is exactly like prophethood itself.
In terms of divinity, you mean?
In what term? In terms of divinity. As prophethood itself was appointed, was decided, was established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the matter of successorship is the same.
What is the idea opposing this?
Shi'i Muslim, Shi'i Twelvers, believe that Ali or successor of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the words of Prophet. And it happened in the history of Islam through the occasion of Ghadir Khum. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explicitly appointed Ali as his successor.
Taking this, you say, the divine appointment of the successor of Prophet Muhammad, if I can put something right in front of it, I would put the word election. Well, divine appointment and election. Election seems to be more democratic. Huh?
in front if you put it in that way, in a political discussion, an argument, yes, it seems to be election more democratic than appointment. But siding with the issue of appointment, I mean divine appointment, is a true proof, a true reason that Shi'i Twelvers are following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because election and democracy cannot support the continuation, cannot guarantee the continuation of Islam. The continuation of Islam is in need of interpretation and application of Islam. The one who is not qualified enough in terms of infallibility and knowledge, how could support Islam? How could protect Islam? How could guarantee the continuation of Islam? So appointment is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a protection, as a guarantee for continuation of Islam. So Shi'i Twelvers believe that after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we don't side with the divine appointment, Islam is going to astray.
So with this divinity you add to the appointment, you're actually clearing the meaning, putting it next to the appointment, and linking this MMS or the successorship of Prophet Muhammad, linking it to the prophethood itself.
Yeah, and you know, this is one side, that Imamate is like exactly like prophethood in terms of appointment, divine appointment, the necessity of divine appointment. But in terms of democracy, in one of my previous sessions, I referred to a golden saying from Fatima al-Zahra, that the issue of Imamate is in need of something. There's no effort. If there is no movement,
you mean the example you
if
you
they don't take an action, so there won't be any meaning for Imamate.
Right.
Do you remember the word of Fatima? He said,
right, the example
Innama mathalul imam,
like
mathalul Kaaba. If people do not take an action, do not move, do not take an action, so what does Imamate mean? Nothing. So the appointment is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He knows better who is qualified and appropriate to take this position, this institution. But this is one side of the token. The other side is due to the people, their willing, their wishes, and their practices, their action. So Imamate is like a token. One side is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deity. The other side is due to the people. And this is the reason that in the history of Islam, Imamate could not come to the reality, to the scene in its real way. Why? Because people didn't want. They followed election.
Thank you. True and false Shia, and Shia from inside and outside, are next we want to talk about after a short break. You're watching The Palm in the Desert, taking Ali as the role model for Muslims in action and in thought is the basis of our discussion tonight with Dr. Shamili. Dr. Shamili, again, I want to put a question for true and false Shia Muslims. But again, I want to use the word claim. Is that when we use the word Shia as a claim, just it means good? Or how can we interpret it, or how can we put it, differentiate between true Shia Muslims and false Shia Muslims, not always talking about the different groups of Shia and Sunni, about Shia itself?
Indeed, this is the beginning of the hot argument, of the hot discussion. Because most of the time, not always, most of the time, we come with claims. We stay with claims. Because we are not ready to put investment, to invest, to prove our claim. It is in need of investment. We need to, you know, expense. It's expensive. Unfortunately, most of the time we stay with claims. And Ali himself, in Nahjul Balagha, said, "Innakum la taqdiruna ala dhalik." If you're going to follow me as your role model,
you cannot do it.
It's not an easy job. You need to put something. But there are ways. For example, in terms of faith and ideology. Yes, in my last session I mentioned that most of the time there are groups who go to the extremities. When you refer to the Islamic references, most of the time infallible imams are warning the Shia not to go to the sides, not to go to the extremities.
To all the moderate way.
لا جبر ولا تفويض بل أمر بين الأمرين. Don't go to minimalist side and maximalist side. Try to be on the moderate way, on the middle way. And this is not easy. You know, to be on the moderate way sometimes is in need of practices and moderate action, and sometimes is in need of moderate thought. And this is the problem in the history of Islam, that sometimes in both in theory and action, in faith and action, we try to put more spices from ourselves, from our side. It's not Islam. Otherwise, we will be more Pope, more Catholic than the Pope. We don't need to be more prophet than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to be careful to follow the role model, both in terms of action and in terms of faith. Otherwise, it's a claim. So to be a real Shia, we need to follow the framework, the borderlines, the criteria. You know, to be the moderate way, in the moderate way, there are two characteristics, two requirements, to follow the Holy Book and to follow Ahlul Bayt. What they draw for us, what they offer, what they provide for us. If we are going to be the followers of Ali and Ahlul Bayt, we need to follow them, both in terms of action and thought. This is one of the meaning. Of course, I told you in the history of Islam, there are many groups of Shia, as there are groups of Sunni. You know, but the only group who could come to the end are the Twelvers. The Twelvers who tried to follow Ahlul Bayt both in terms of faith and action.
Dr. Shamli, I want you to give us an overview or an outlook of the Shia view from outside and inside. I'll ask you to do it, but after a short break.
Thank you.
For the last part of the discussion tonight. Thank you. Dr. Shamli, can you please give us an overview of Shia from inside and outside?
As you may remember, I started my discussion about Shiism from my simple definition. I said, "Ash-Shi'atu man shaya'a Aliyan." The Shia is one who follows Ali as the role model. This is the inside definition of Shiism. But unfortunately, as in the case of other terms, always there will be types of misconceptions and misunderstanding coming from outsiders. Those who are outside Islam, you know, not outside Islam, sometimes those who are outside Shia and sometimes from those who are outside Islam, like Orientalists. They try to provide their own definition about Islam, about Shiism. But Shiism, if we want to know the true meaning, we need to go back to the inside Shi'ism. And inside Shi'ism, you need to go back to the school of Ahlul Bayt. What do they provide for us? Who are the Shia? You know, let me provide you a good, simple definition about Shia from the fifth Imam, Imam Baqir. And this matter is so important that Imam swears to Allah. He says, وَاللَّهِ لَا تُنَالُ وِلَايَتُنَا إِلَّا بِالْوَرَعِ وَالِجْتَهَادِ. I swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one could claim that he is our follower except when he has wara and ijtihad. Wara, I said,
purity.
And hard piety effort. And hard effort. Hard effort in terms of practices. There are many, many duties, practices as Amal Saleh that we need to act. We need to behave accordingly. Otherwise, it's not ijtihad, simple hard effort. Everyone could have hard effort. Hard effort in this statement means hard effort in terms of Islamic practices. And the eighth Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musarrallah, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, says, our followers, our Shia, are those who are more piet, the pietest people. Wara, ijtihad, and third one, وَلَيْسَ شِيَعَتُنَا مَنْ يَظْلِمُ النَّاسِ. Our followers are not the oppressors. They do not have tyranny toward the people. But they are the helpers of the oppressed. And this is again an advice from Imam Ali alayhi salam. كُونَا لِلظَّالِمِ خَسْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ عَوْنًا. Try to be the enemy of the oppressor and try to be the helper for those who are helpless, for those who are oppressed. وَلَيْسَ شِيَعَتُنَا مَنْ يَظْلِمُ النَّاسِ. And let me to provide you another definition from the 11th Imam, Imam Askari. He provides good criteria. Do you know to know who are the Shia? Who are the true Shia? He says, "Alamat al-mu'min khamsun."
There are five signs.
The practical signs to know who are the 12, who are the Shia. It's simple. First, salatu ihda wa khamsin. The true Shias, the 12ers, they try their best to pray 51 units. 51 rak'ah each 24 hours. Each and every 24 hours. Salatu ihda wa khamsin rak'ah. 17 obligatory and 34 recommended. So, one good practical sign. Are you dedicated, devoted to daily prayer? If not, you are not the true follower of Ali. Salatu ihda wa khamsin. This is first. Second, if you want to know who is Shia 12, try to listen while he is praying. Does he sound his Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning, or does he make it silent? The Shia 12ers make it sound. Both in two types of salat. They don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in all daily prayers. One good sign. The other one, the true Shi'i 12ers are those who celebrate. It would be better not to say celebrate, commemorate. Shi'i true 12ers are those who commemorate the 40th day of martyrdom of Hussein. Ziyaratul Arba'een. I don't know why Imam Askari, the 11th Imam, is putting the finger on this point. The true Shi'i 12ers are those who side with Imam Hussein. Not for his martyrdom, but for his 40th. And it's amazing that,
why is that?
In the literature of Islam, in the culture of Islam, you won't say any advice about commemoration of 40th of any infallible person, even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but only about Imam Hussein. Shia Twelvers are those who commemorate their school, the way, the movement of Hussein, particularly the 40th. Why? Because al-Islamu bad'uhu Muhammadiyun wa baga'uhu Husayniyun. The beginning of Islam is with the effort of Prophet, and the maintenance and the continuation comes with the name of Hussein.
These are actually the signs of
practical signs.
The practical signs of
after
Shia.
Faith, belief system, you know, the pillars of Islam. You know, after that, when you are looking for practical signs. And the last one, the Shia Twelver put a part of clay, soil, in front of them while they are praying. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The earth, the soil, is put from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both for me, a way of purification, cleanness, okay, and a way of prostration.
Beautiful. Thank you for the very nice discussion we had. We talked so far about the Shi'i thought and the needs and requirements of being a true follower of the Ahlul Bayt. We talked about the division of Islam into Shia and Sunni and their roots in that, and also Shia from inside and outside. Thank you for the nice discussion, Dr. Shamili. Thank you too for being with us on another edition of A Palm in the Desert. We'll continue our discussions on that next week at the same time here on A Palm in the Desert. Make sure to tune in again next week at the same time. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
What makes you sigh? My father said to me, saw you walking by and keeping it from me. I do care, I do care. Come sit with me, tell me what's on your mind. I know how it can be, I also was a child. Don't despair, don't despair. ألف بين قلوبنا أصلح ذات بيننا ألف بين قلوبنا أصلح ذات بيننا. How can I tell you about all that I feel? You would only start to shout, make a big deal, and I'm big